the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show whatever you want. Your love, your hate, your death threats. Your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, because Friday cometh. Email all those to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We didn't really talk about this yet, but Fed Chairman Jerome Powell got up today. They raised the rates again.
Today, the FOMC raised our policy interest rate by 25 basis points. We continue to anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate.
Uh-oh. Well, ongoing interest rate, ongoing increases, they're going to keep jacking up the rates because they keep spending money. It's not just the money they spent. They keep blowing through money, so they keep having to jack up the rates. How this ends, where this ends, I don't know. Probably not anywhere good. Probably not anywhere good at all, but it is what it is. But we're not going to dwell on this. You know what we're going to dwell on? Let's get to an email or two, and then we'll talk World War III. Jesse, dear world-famous author, I saw your book announcement on Twitter today. By the way, he's referencing some little video. I put a little video up on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, like doing the book announcement thing. It was just some dumb little video. He said, while I'm intrigued by the news, I'm more interested to know what specific book was in your hands during the announcement. He brings this up because I forgot the actual physical copy of the book, so I had to just grab a book that wasn't at all my book and hold it up as if it was my book. Anyway, the book is called, in case you're wondering, Tower of Skulls. Real lighthearted one. Tower of Skulls is the name of the book by Richard B. Frank. It is a history of the Asia-Pacific War. Essentially, the Japan versus China, and I know we get involved in Britain and Australia and everything else. It's the Japanese-China portion of World War II. That's really what this whole thing is. Richard B. Frank does a bunch of good books. Yes, I know it's a lot of pages. Chris, look, we world-famous authors, we don't get intimidated by too many pages. That's one. Two, maybe you're like Chris and you don't like to read. And so you're asking for books on tape and stuff like that. Let me give you a little clue on something. This is a book. I'm actually holding it right now, this book. It's not mine. The one I just told you, the Tower of Skulls book. And this book, you would look at it in the bookstore and you'd say, my gosh, that's a thick book. I mean, I'm towards the back page of it. It's page 750. Whoa, crazy, right? Well, here's something. I am now on page 527, and every single page after that is simply notes and citation stuff. Every single page. Over 200 pages of this book are notes and definitions and citations. Don't be intimidated by these history books. I'm not talking about mine, but these history books, if you're thinking about reading like some nonfiction stuff and some history stuff, and you're intimidated, lots of these books, they have to have all these notes and stuff at the end. It's not as big as you think is what I'm saying. One, and two, they're not all boring. Not saying you have to be a huge nerd like me, but they're not all boring. All right, let's get to World War III. Now, this is something we have brought up before. Let's just bring it up again quickly. Wars are terrible. They're absolutely awful. Don't listen to anyone who tells you otherwise. People dying, it's a really bad thing. And wars have gotten more and more terrible as far as destruction and loss of life goes as technology gets better. As technology gets better, the killing power of weapons increases. The range of the killing power weapons increases. It just, okay, if I were, you and I, we hop in a time machine. And we go back to the year 1800. I just mentioned Napoleon earlier. What are Napoleon's battles in the 1800s? How far away from the actual battlefield would we have to be to make sure there was no chance, zero whatsoever, that neither of us are going to get hurt? Hey, we're just to watch. We're just here to watch, guys. Well, the answer is not that far. I don't have the exact numbers on how far the cannon shot back then, but it couldn't have been more than a mile or two, right? And if I'm off, I'm not that far off. So you and I would go find a perch somewhere, a hilltop, we get some binoculars, and hey, let's watch the battle. And I should note, this was something people did back in the day. You read stories about the American Civil War. Civilians would pack picnics and they'd go out and watch the Civil War. Why? Because you could get to a reasonable distance from the battlefield and there simply wasn't a weapon that existed that could hurt you. Today, though, a little bit different. And we see the difference. Look, you saw the difference in World War I. That's why all those guys were dying in droves. Whoa, a machine gun just killed everyone? The whole platoon's gone? It was just a shock to people. And then World War I was so bad. And, you know, they would say the Great War, and there can never be a war like this again. It was the worst thing ever. And then, boom, World War II comes. And now, how many people don't even know? I mean, you've heard of World War I, but you don't know anything about it. Why? Because it was so dwarfed by World War II, with World War II's damage and death, that World War I almost seems like an afterthought now. When World War I, when it happened, it was thought to be the worst thing in the history of the world. That's what it was. So when I say that, I'm talking about now the next one. World War II ended in 1945. It's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. By my estimation, that's just short of 80 years worth of new technologies now, new ranges on the weapons now. In World War II, you remember, we've talked about it on the show 1,000 times, we were trying to island hop our way towards Japan. Why? Because we wanted to move the airstrips closer so our bombers could get to Japan and bomb it. Today, there wouldn't be any need for any island hopping shit campaign. You go to war with Japan and you want to bomb Tokyo? We can bomb Tokyo this afternoon if we felt like it. Launch a long-range missile there of some kind. The ranges and killing power of weapons are shocking, and I think a lot of people don't take that into account when they think about foreign affairs and world affairs these days. Look, most of the time we don't even care that much about world affairs, and I'm just as guilty of that too. But when we think about it, I think we constantly put ourselves back in the old days. Well, this is what we'd have done during the Cold War or during World War II, and we'd have done this then and this then. Okay, well, it's not the Cold War anymore. It's not World War II. We're in the era now that I can confidently say, no matter who you are, no matter where you are right now, as you're currently listening to the sound of my voice, New York City, Czechoslovakia, Idaho, on a farm in Iowa, I don't care where you are, World War III could end you and everyone you love tonight. That's just the reality of the weapons that are available now on the planet. The weapons we have, the weapons the dirty Russians have, the weapons the Chi-Coms have. And we always have to keep that in mind when we talk about the potential for another global conflict. Global conflict is going to be so much worse the third time than it even was the second time. And that's one of those things we find so fascinating about World War II. I know I do. Every part of it, from the civilian part to the European part to the Pacific part, to every part of it, we find it to be fascinating because it seems so horrible, almost like it's not real, right? I mean, there was a genocide. Remember, the genocide of the Jews was seriously just, oh, that's just part of World War II. that's a portion of it. The Russia-German part of it. We talked about this before. If you separated just that conflict out, that alone would be the worst war in history. Just, it was so bad it doesn't seem real. World War III will be worse. That's the truth. You know it will be worse because the technology has gotten better. The weapons now go even further. That's the reality. So where are we? We're not in a great place, to be honest with you. And I had a pretty eye-opening conversation with my buddy Brian Dean Wright today. And I'll just tell you what we were talking about today and just some things for us to marinate on, things for us to stress about at night. Hey, it's this. Look, the bad news is there might be some sort of a nuclear holocaust. The good news is you won't have been evicted from your home. So whenever that nuclear weapon comes down, you will get to go to a million degrees in the comfort of your living room. But had you not got home title lock, then a home title thief would have jacked your home title, taken loans out against your home because your home title's online, and then you would have started getting late notices in the mail. You would have ignored them because, again, you didn't take the loans out. You would have thought it was a mistake or something or spam. And then eventually they would have evicted you from your home. Your neighbor who didn't get home title lock, he didn't go to hometitlelock.com/Jesse. He's going to be evicted. He'll probably be living with his parents or in a homeless shelter when the nuclear holocaust comes. But not you. You're going to get to enjoy that from the comfort of your home. And who doesn't want that, right? Go to hometitlelock.com/Jesse and sign up so you don't get evicted. In all seriousness, this home title theft is a really, really, really big deal. It's the new, you know, remember identity theft, that thing? This is the new thing. It's even easier for these pieces of trash. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. All right? All right, hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Place where I've never been before.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, on a hump day out there. Chris actually brought up a good point during the break because we're talking about World War III and we're about to go over a couple things here. We've talked about this before on the show. The bad news is we all might die. The good news is there's not a better way to go than a nuclear weapon. You're here 1 second, and then you're ash a split second later. That doesn't sound that bad compared to all the other ways you have to go in this life, watching your body just fall apart, your prostate falls out of your pants, your eyes go, your hair starts falling out if you're me. That I don't want to go out like this. Look, if you were to present me with, let's say I was an old man, and I've got all the mileage I want out of the wife and kids and grandkids, and I'm checking out of here, right? And you were to present me with, hey, Jesse, here's a nuclear weapon. We can vaporize you and get rid of you, or we can shoot you in the face with a hero arrow, and you'll have this pepper gel blast that'll blast you in the face, and you won't die, but just like when you got pepper sprayed, it'll feel like we're holding a blowtorch to your eyeballs. I will choose the nuclear weapon, especially as long as nobody else gets hurt. Don't shoot me with a hero arrow. Ah, Jesse, you're such a wuss. The hero arrow's non-lethal. Have you ever been shot in the face with pepper spray? Because I have, and it's awful. And you know the hero gun and hero arrow are several times stronger than pepper spray. Did you know that? Why do you think I tell you, especially you ladies, but fellas too, carry one on you at all times? Little hero arrow, man, it's shaped like a TV remote right in that purse. Even those little dinky hot chick purses you ladies wear. Hero arrow, there's no reason. I'm going out with the girls this Friday to the bar. We're going to be annoying. I know. Hero arrow can go right in that purse, ladies. Protect yourself, all right? Fellas, you too. Protect yourself. Hero2020.com code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com code Jesse. Back to nuclear war. So here's where we're at. And I just want to clarify something. Reach out to several people trying to help me understand foreign policy-wise where we are, because there's so much confusion, especially with the Russia-Ukraine thing. Ukraine's winning. Woohoo! Russia's winning. Oh, no! Oh, they're going back and forth. No one can figure out anything. Okay, well, who's actually winning? One, you should know this. This isn't near as cool as it sounds, but even me getting ready to tell you it sounds cool, so maybe it is as cool. Do you know that there's something called the Wagner Group out there? What is the Wagner Group, you may ask? Well, remember I've told you that there's a very revealing book you should buy. Again, it's not my book. No, I'm not doing my book thing. I'm not joking around. This is a serious topic here. There's a book you should buy that will help reveal the world to you a little bit better and how the world actually works. The book is called Zero Footprint. I've mentioned it to you before. I'm not friends with the author. I don't know any of these people. It's just a very fascinating book on the world and a fascinating book on the world of private military contractors. You would know them as mercenaries. And when we talk about this book, Zero Footprint, we talk about these PMCs, these private military contractors, these mercenaries, and we talk about the fact that there are several different kinds. there are so many PMCs out there that are just full of patriots, and they only work on behalf of America and American interests. And these are all former Green Berets and Marines and those types. And it's, you know, rah-rah, all those types. And then there are other types. There are other types. There are the types that they'll do whatever you need them to do for money. And people don't like to dwell on this, because when we think of our military and when we think of veterans, we like to think of them only in the loftiest terms. And of course, we have so much respect for service and stuff like that in the country. We don't like to have the uncomfortable conversation of, there are a lot of young men in America and other countries, Russia included, when their time in the military is up. Here you are and you're done, right? You're out. You're 24. You're 28, you're 34, whatever. That's still relatively young for a man. And now you're no longer in the military where you've been. And you're not necessarily skilled up on a ton of stuff, but you do have, to sound like that great movie Taken, a particular set of skills. You can kill people. You know how to kill people. You know how to patrol. You know how to shoot. You know how to do, you just know the things involved in making war. And there's a lot of money that you can make by applying your set of skills you already have. And if you're somebody who's wishy-washy morally, or maybe you're just not there at all morally, there's PMC companies, mercenary companies, who will hire you. But to what end? Well, a couple different things. One, you will have private corporations, ones who don't want bad press, ones who don't want to get their hands dirty. I mean, look, this village that's in New Guinea, there's a tribe there, and we really want access to the resources that are on their land, and we've offered to pay them, and they won't leave. And so, hey, Mr. Mercenary Group, it would be really great if we here at whatever, fill in the blank for some Fortune 500 company, it'd be really great if next time we showed up where that village is, that the people aren't there anymore. And I know we don't like to think about this. We just like to think it's in the movies. There are plenty of private mercenary contractor groups who are happy to make that happen for you for a fee. Sure. That village can go away pretty easily, actually. Just pay us this and they'll be gone. Well, Russia apparently employs this 50 to 100,000 man mercenary group of criminals, of former prisoners, called the Wagner Group. Chris is looking them up now, aren't you, Chris? Called the Wagner Group. It sounds crazy, right? But it is real. So I wanted to know what was going on with Russia-Ukraine. Give me some information on the ground. One of the things that's going on is this Wagner Group. You need to understand this because you're probably going to hear this name more and more. They do uncomfortable things for Russia on behalf of Russia around the globe. If Russia has interests in a nation, in another nation, or any powerful entity is attacking those interests, it's not beyond Vladimir Putin. He has done it several times before to call up the Wagner Group and said, hey, Wagner boys, da, or whatever they say in Russian. I don't know. I haven't learned it yet. Da, hey, go eat some goulash and murder some people. And Wagner Group, clearly not above that. Clearly, this is not beyond their purview. They say, oh, yeah, got you covered. Well, they're not only fighting in Ukraine heavily, this Wagner Group, apparently they are very well equipped and very, very, very well trained. So where does that leave us right now? What do these tanks have to do with anything? Well, that's an interesting question. I'll explain in a second. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to our World War III talk. I'm going to try to wrap this up because I still do have a lot to get to that I kind of haven't gotten to yet. But anyway, back to this World War III talk. So here's something that I've been wondering for a while when it comes to our involvement and the involvement of European nations in the Russia-Ukraine thing. What I've been wondering is, why hasn't Vladimir Putin responded in any way attacking us? or other real European nations. And no, I'm not talking about sending the Russian Navy across the ocean to invade New York City. I mean, cyber, a foreign installation somewhere being under attack. There's been no significant escalation from Vladimir Putin. He hasn't responded. This is kind of what I'm worried about. Why haven't I seen it? So I'm talking today of these guys, and this is essentially what they were saying as well. He hasn't yet. We have not clearly crossed a red line yet. Are the tanks going to be a red line? I don't know. Biden used to think so. Oh, I don't know. Last year.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews. Just understand and don't kid yourself, no matter what y'all say. That's called World War III. Okay? Let's get it straight here, guys.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abram tanks to Ukraine.
Okay. Is that a red line? I asked that question very specifically today of the experts. The answer I got was, I don't know, but I promise you we're getting close. And so I said, okay, why? And they said, look, Putin doesn't want an escalation with us either. We always have to keep that in mind. And we should always keep that in mind. We don't want this to turn into nuclear holocaust, whatever this is. He doesn't want that either. What he wants is the territory. He wants to win. He invaded it. He wants to take the territory and keep it. He doesn't want Russia to be ash by the time he's done with it. He doesn't want that either. So that's the advantage we've both had so far. We don't want that from him. He doesn't want that from us. But this is what my guys told me. Our continued escalation, it is going to, no matter what, eventually put him in a corner where he has to respond. And so I asked the same question you're probably asking the radio right now. Okay, what does that look like? You say respond, and this is, you know, that's pretty much how I put it. You say respond. What's that mean? I'm in Houston. Am I going to die? What's that mean? And I heard nuclear weapons, but hold on. Not in American cities. An initial nuclear response of some kind from Putin might be blowing one up in Ukraine somewhere, might be blowing one up, one of my friends said, in the Black Sea somewhere. Set one off just to put Europe and us in on notice. Hey, buddy, maybe you forgot. I've got these. I got the launch codes. I'll send them. But maybe it looks like that. Maybe it's a significant cyber attack of some kind. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about Russia's capability for that. Remember, your power grid is probably online. I think we all would be a little uncomfortable if we take enough time to think about what that means if Russia starts launching significant cyber attacks against our power grid, if we lose juice for a day, 2 days. Eventually, that's your gas station closing. That's your grocery store closing. Your kids ain't going to school. You're not going to work. Society itself really shuts down if we lose the juice. So that's kind of the update on that portion of it. And then remember, we never know where it goes from there, because here's the problem with when you play this game, when you play the game of escalation, right? At some point in time, it needs to de-escalate, doesn't it? But you're going the wrong direction. You ever had a fight with your husband, with your wife, girlfriend maybe? And first, it's just kind of this little annoying thing. I was getting a cup of coffee. Why'd you step in front of me? And soon somebody escalates to maybe something personal or starts raising their voice. And that inevitably results in what? A further escalation by the other person. And soon you're screaming and yelling at each other and the neighbors are calling the cops. It's difficult in that moment of escalation. I escalated. Well, she's going to escalate. Well, screw him. I'll escalate then. It's really difficult for cooler heads to prevail in that moment and any kind of a de-escalation to happen. Well, nations have previously had this problem many times throughout history. let's keep in mind, just pause here as we do a little World War I stuff, just very, very brief. World War I should never have happened. That terrible, terrible war with all those brave young men dying like that in terrible ways. And it should never have happened. I mean, one guy in Austria-Hungary, Franz Ferdinand, royalty, well, he's about to be king, gets assassinated by some Serb, but the Serb was from some small separatist group, and we're not sure if it was tied to the government, but they thought it was tied to the government, so now Russia gets involved, and Germany gets involved, and now everything just was an escalation. Well, you shouldn't have done this, or you shouldn't have done that. Well, fine, I'll call my big brother to get in. Well, fine, my big brother's coming too. Okay, well, my big brother's joining. And it escalated and escalated and escalated and escalated. And what's wild is I can sit here and say all day long it shouldn't have happened. But as somebody who's a total World War I geek, I've read all kinds of stuff on it, watched a million documentaries on it. I also can't pinpoint the moment that would have stopped it. Because it seemed like almost immediately it seemed like, wow, this is going to escalate to a gigantic war. I know it shouldn't have happened. Somewhere along the lines, cooler heads should have prevailed, but they didn't. And I see this a lot from people when it comes to foreign policy stuff, especially when it comes to foreign policy stuff dealing with Russia and China. I see people try to convince themselves. I know it's a human nature thing, trying to comfort yourself, but this is what I'll see from people. I'll see people say, they're not going to let it get to nuclear war. No one's going to allow that. Cooler heads are going to prevail. I see that all the time. Really? The entire history of the world is world leaders of some kind, presidents, emperors, kings, PMs, whatever you think, escalating things and getting lots and lots of their people killed specifically because cooler heads never ended up prevailing. And we haven't even gone into the China-Taiwan thing yet. China has flat out stated on paper they intend to usurp us. It's a spicy world out there now. And I didn't say all this to bring you down and I'm going to move on because the truth is it's not like there's anything you can do about it. This is part of what sucks about being led by the dumbest people on the planet. They're in control of all this. You're not in there in foreign policy meetings. I don't know about you. Nobody called me to sit in the national security meeting today. Look, maybe I'll check my Peer Talk phone. Maybe they lost my number. But I never got that phone call. Look, what else are we going to do? By the way, quick side note. I do love this. Speaking of what can we do? Well, we can make sure we're prepared. Had another 60-year-old man write me in today and tell me, Jesse, started my male vitality stack from Chalk today. Gonna try it for 90 days. That's all I ask of you. Ladies, female vitality stack. Fellas, male vitality stack. Hear me out here. The subscriptions are 35% off. Natural herbal supplements. I want you to cancel your subscription after 90 days if you don't feel better. If you don't feel an incredible difference in your mood, in your energy, in your friggin' vitality, naturally, you will. I know you will. Go get a subscription. But if it doesn't work in 90 days, if it doesn't work, please cancel it. I want you to, and so does Chalk. But I believe in it. Like, look, you know I do. I've been on it about 10 months now. I went breezing past 90 days, and I'm generally skeptical about that. Just the difference in how I feel every day, man. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscription. Give me 90 days and you tell me how you feel. Any age, all right? 90 days. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. All right, let's get to some emails. And we think we want to solve the problem, but do we? Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm just going to read something for you here, just briefly. The leaders of your society, not just politicians, by the way, but the leaders of your society, they really should be more educated. They really should be more capable than you and me. They should be. But instead, I mean, you hear me say all the time that what we need is you running for office. And I think maybe there are some people out there who think I'm just trying to be nice, which longtime listeners of the show will know that's not true. But I think some people think I'm just trying to be nice. No, no. Normal people know infinitely more about life and frankly the world than our leaders now, because our societal leaders have all been filtered through the dirty jockstrap of America's education system. And so even if at one point in time they were smart and they were ready, now they're all stupid. This is Federalist One, Alexander Hamilton. Maybe you've heard of him. This is just a couple sentences. This is how your leaders used to speak. After full experience of the insufficiency of the existing federal government, you are invited to deliberate upon a new constitution for the United States of America. The subject speaks to its own importance, comprehending in its consequences nothing less than the existence of the Union and safety and welfare of the parts in which it is composed, the fate of an empire, in many respects, the most interesting in the world. It has been frequently remarked that it seems to have been reserved to the people of this country to decide by their conduct and example the important question whether societies of men are really capable or not of establishing good government from reflection and choice, and whether they are forever destined to depend for their political constitutions on accident and force. That's how your leaders used to talk. This is how they talk now.
Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center. They suited up, they waved to their families, and they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories. They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel. And then they launched. Yeah, they did.
If there be any truth in the remark, the crisis at which we've arrived may with propriety be regarded as the period when that decision is to be made, in a wrong election of part we shall act, may, in this view, deserve to be considered as the general misfortune of mankind. That's how they used to speak. This is how they speak now.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
It's not supposed to be like this. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, but the water got filtered, just not through a water filter, through dirty jock straps. What, Chris? It's a good description. It is. I know it's gross, Chris. It brings it alive for people, all right? Chris, understand something. You view the world as a radio producer. I view the world now as an author. All right, what, Chris? The whole world is my blank canvas that I am going to type a book on or something. That I really didn't think this out ahead of time. I wish that had come out better. But what, Chris? Do I have a typewriter? Oh, I need to get a typewriter so it looks like it. I need to get a typewriter in a pipe. You know, like not a Hunter Biden type pipe, but like the ones where they put the tobacco in it, the professors and stuff like that. Oh, I need that. I'm totally getting that. You think the wife's never going to go to that? I'll tell her to be an antique room. Only I'll lie, and then I'll go in there with like a tweed jacket. Sorry, I'm working on the Anti-Communist Manifesto Part 2. By the way, in case you want to pre-order Anti-Communist Manifesto, jessekellybook.com. Was it written on a typewriter? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm an author. We do things differently now, Chris. We see the world differently. Jesse, I have thought about this for a long time with conservative talk radio in general and much more lately. Imagine the communist Biden administration succeeds in labeling all conservative talk as hate speech and orders the FCC to stop all commentary. All radio stations, iHeart, podcasts, they're all forced to halt that programming. My question is, what would you see yourself doing? I know you're not trying to lead the masses, but you also must know what sources like your show mean to us for validating things we think and believe. I know what I fantasize about people like yourself doing. I believe once we've gotten to that point in America, all bets are off. Also, thank you, Jesse. In your own special way, you're truly the one to pick up the flag left by the passing of Rush. Feel free to use my name. His name is Bob. Thank you. I am obviously no Rush, not even close, not fit to hold a candle to the greatest of all time. If I can help fill that gap left by his passing for you a little bit, good. Trying to make your day a little better. What would I do? We've actually answered this question on the show before, and we're going to get to how people see the government here in a second. What would I do? A pirate ship that broadcasts the radio signal from the ocean. We would get a ship. The what, Chris? I know I don't know how to sail. You can come along and can't you sail for us? Yeah, well, exactly. You sail the same as I need you to do my work training. I'm going to need you to handle all the boat duties, the boat stuff. Where you're going to have to do the sail things and man the mast and the gangways and ahoy. No, actually, you know what, Chris? I will help you out with the ahoys because I've always enjoyed saying that. Whenever you're doing anything, whenever I see another ship, it'll be ahoy. Anyway, while you're doing that and swabbing the deck and emptying out the toilets and stuff like that, I will be in a special radio room on the ship broadcasting from international waters. We will need defense. We should hire some people because they're definitely going to come try to kill us and blow us out of the water. But either way, the pirate life for me, Chris. Now, Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, but it's not just the poor ones. Let's talk about this. Hang on.